it's a place that I've been trying to get to for 8 years. It's a feeling that I've always wanted to feel, and now being able to feel it for the first time, I can't even describe how cool it is.
That's Jared Cook, and I'm Bill Scott. More from Titletown later on the Wisconsin Radio Network.
Thank you, BES. It is 17 minutes before 10 o'clock on your hump day morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein. And she is a certified early education and elementary teacher in New Jersey after receiving her MA in teaching and elementary education with honors from Fairleigh Dickinson University in 1996. She's worked as a teacher, trainer, and educator for over 18 years in both public and private education institutions. An experienced businesswoman, in addition to her credentials as a recognized educator, she was recently named a top 25 leading woman entrepreneur by the New Jersey chapter of Leading Women Entrepreneurs and Business Owners. Please welcome to WRJN's Community Conversation, Ms. Danielle Linder. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being had. Where are you this morning?
I am at school in Florham Park, New Jersey.
Are you teaching right now?
I am not. I actually have an amazing director and assistant director, and they are handling the school as I get to speak with you.
What level do you teach?
I actually am no longer teaching, but I started out teaching preschool, then moved into public school and taught kindergarten. And now I am lucky enough to oversee an amazing preschool, the London Day School, where children start at 18 months and go through kindergarten.
Well, you've authored a bunch of children's books. What motivated you to write for children specifically?
Well, I love poetry and I love rhyme, and I have children myself, although they have become, they're growing into young women very quickly. And I wanted to write books about character education that could address topics that might be a little difficult for kids, but in a fun way so that they would enjoy reading them. And I felt that rhyme would be a great way to do it. And I just love, you know, I love working with children and having a preschool. It was just, I thought it just meshed well.
What are your daughters' names and how old are they?
Chloe is 17. And she's a junior in high school, and Kelly is 11, and she wants to be a superstar, and Chloe wants to be a dermatologist, so we're keeping our fingers crossed for both of them.
What's a superstar? What does that mean?
You know, I don't know. It changes every day. One day it's a, you know, a singing pop star, the next day it's a movie star, the next day it's a, you know, a movie producer, so we'll see. But at least she's creative and she's motivated, so that's all we can ask.
I have 6 children.
Oh, my goodness.
And they are all superstars in their own right.
I'm sure.
One of the things that I've learned not only as a parent, but also my first career was working with young people, is that I have 6. If I had 60, I know that they would all be unique because all 6 of them are completely different from the same gene pool, except we have one adopted daughter. How do you, as a parent and as an educator, draw out that uniqueness in the people that you are parenting or teaching?
Well, I think, like you said, the biggest thing to recognize as a parent and an educator is that every child is unique and every child has something special to give. And once you do that, you can open yourselves up to being creative as a parent and as a teacher to address their strengths or their weaknesses, and focus on those. Focus on their strengths and try and build upon those strengths and let children know what their special things are, what's great about them. You know, I don't think you have to say to someone who's really terrible at soccer, you're a great soccer player. You know, don't give them false expectations, but find the things that they love to do and that they're really good at and, you know, praise them for that and build on that. So if you have a child that really loves music and really loves singing, you know, foster that in them. If you can, give them singing lessons or sing with them or, you know, let them be in a choir. If you have a child that's really great in art, foster that. Get them art supplies. You know, we try to address the whole child here at London Day School, and if a child is struggling with something, rather than just say, oh, well, you're struggling, move on to something else, we try to help them with it and give them the tools so that they can feel confident, you know, like in a science or a math, to to try those things again.
What if you have a child that is your own offspring or that you're working with that isn't great at anything? Then what do you do?
Well, I think every child has something that they enjoy. So, you know, they don't have to be a prodigy in piano or guitar or singing or music, but there has to be something that they enjoy. And even if they're not great at it, if they enjoy it, you have to let them know that that's good enough. It's good enough to just enjoy something. And you don't have to be great at it. One of our the things on our logo is a butterfly. And it kind of represented me as a child because I liked so many different things. You know, I wasn't the best dancer. I wasn't the best clarinet player, that's for sure. I wasn't necessarily the best singer, but I enjoyed all of those things. And like a butterfly that goes from flower to flower, kids can be that way too. So I think it's okay to give kids that, you know, to tell them it's okay to try a million things and find something that you love, even if you're not the prodigy.
One of the things that I do with our kids, and because, as I said, I had experience working with children prior to becoming a parent, was that I built in a positive reinforcement program within our family, because I recognized early on as a parent that it came very natural to me to correct them and to say no to them. But it did not come natural to me, and I would say this is a very human characteristic, to positively reinforce. And so what I did was I initiated the nickel ceremony so that when our kids were old enough to be aware of the instructions that they were given, that if they, for example, did something the first time they were asked, I would say, Joseph, that's a nickel. Jacob, that's a nickel. Judah, that's a nickel. Hannah, that's a nickel. Isaac, that's a nickel. Gracie, that's a nickel. If they would say please or thank you in public, that's a nickel. And it was a constant reinforcement. You could never lose a nickel. And no nickels were ever taken away. And then about once a quarter, I would have the nickel ceremony. And I made a big deal out of it, and they would get, and I would bring them out one at a time. They had a line up on with their toes on the carpet right in front of our fireplace. And I used to march around turning all the lights off in the home. And then I would sing Ruffles and Flourishes and Hail to the Chief. I'd go around the house going dun da da dun da da dun dun da da dun dun da dun dun da. And they thought for about the first 10 or 12 years of their lives that I made that up until they heard Hail to the Chief. So guess what my kids think about every time they hear Hail to the Chief? The nickel ceremony. Sometimes I think parents and teachers and mentors and coaches don't realize how valuable and available tools like that are to elicit positive memories for children.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things we do in every one of our classrooms is catching children being good.
Yes.
And that's just what you're doing.
Yep.
And parents need to do that more. And it doesn't even have to be a huge thing. It could just be, you know, you saw somebody share a toy and wow, we caught you doing something amazing. So we're going to put a flower up on our, you know, up on our beautiful tree, and we're going to write your name on it, and you are going to be recognized for sharing. You know, every classroom, some classrooms have a caterpillar, and every time they catch someone doing something nice, they put their name on the caterpillar, and the caterpillar just keeps getting longer and longer and longer and growing through the classroom. A lot of times parents will tell me, you know, my child is a behavior issue problem, they're having issues in school, and you know, I'll say, well, what are they doing, what are you doing? And say, well, you know, they put them in a timeout, or you know, we yell at them, or we tell them what they're doing wrong. And I said, why don't you try something different? Try focusing on the child that was doing everything right and maybe got hurt, and don't focus on the child that's doing something wrong at all. And sometimes it's just a matter of recognizing and giving children attention for being good. And the only reason that they're doing something bad is it's because it's the only time they're getting attention.
Well, we do,
like you're saying, shift our focus.
We do everything, even as adults, we do everything for attention. And if you reinforce the negative, you are going to get more of it. But it is the most natural thing for us beautiful humans to be negative. It takes no work to criticize. It takes no work to catch somebody doing wrong, but you really have to train yourself to catch children and students and athletes doing right, and that when you positively reinforce that on an ongoing basis, chances are you'll see more of it. She is Daniel Lindner. She is an educator, an author, and also one of the top 25 leading women entrepreneurs voted by the New Jersey chapter of Leading Women Entrepreneurs and Business Owners. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversations. She's in New Jersey today. What's the temperature there?
Today it's about 50, which is actually really good.
I guess so, since we have a wind chill right now of -8 here in the Milwaukee area.
Oh, my God.
good times. Hey, Danielle, a recent study by Harvard University found that when parents who are being proactive with their kids are trying to instill empathy, that somehow they unintentionally send a message that achievement is what is valued above all else. How does that happen, and how do parents address that?
Well, you know, I do see that. I see parents, you know, focusing, as I would say, on the end rather than on what happens in the middle. So, you know, if you see a child coming to school and they're in a sweatshirt that says, you know, Princeton on it, and the parent's so excited that their two-year-old's wearing a Princeton sweatshirt, and they're going to go to Princeton like that. Okay, but why don't we focus on what happens in the middle, you know, being a good person, working hard, having teamwork. And I think that's where that sometimes happens, where we're so focused on the end and the end achievement that we don't think about the steps that it takes to get there.
Yeah, but how, by attempting to instill empathy, does that produce somebody who is communicating to their child that really what is all important is just the achievement?
Yeah, you know, I think that we need to talk about empathy in terms of how it makes us feel. You know, how does it feel when you act a certain way towards someone? How do you feel?
So I see. So the ends are not justified by the means.
Right. You know,
isn't it great that we have a president that's going to be inaugurated in January 20th that exemplifies that all the time?
And I think one of the things we have to teach our kids is how do we deal with losing? how do we deal with not getting what we might want? And that's a big thing in preschool. How do we deal with, you know, not always getting the end result that we want, or winning the game, or being the winner? That's another thing that's really tough for kids, and tough for adults, as we've seen.
Some adults. She's Danielle Linder. She's the founder and CEO of the London Day School, which is a preschool in Florham Park, New Jersey. So you want to franchise this. This must be somewhat encouraging with the new administration coming in, being for more school choice, charter schools and the like, and to be able to allow parents to perhaps take the money that is being spent by the federal government and give a voucher, if you will, and then be able to make their own decisions for their educational needs of their children.
Yeah, you know, we franchised just early last year, primarily because we wanted, or I wanted, women or men like myself to be able to open a business and really give back to their community and do something that would affect the children in their community in a positive way. So, you know, I'm hoping that there will be, you know, new policies that will come into effect that will help people to open a small business, get loans that they need. It really hasn't been very small business friendly, but I think things will change. And, you know, I'm just cautiously optimistic that people will be able to take whatever they have saved and put it into something that can contribute to their future and the future of the kids in their community.
Well, you're an absolute delight. People, you can check out her website, Danielle Linder. It is two L's in Danielle, Lindner, LINDNER.com. And stay warm, because the cold weather is coming. That's usually what happens. It comes from here and goes to New Jersey.
It is coming, so I'm going to thank you ahead of time for that.
And Happy New Year, and really appreciate your time.
Happy New Year, and thank you for having me.
Okay, thank you. There she goes, Danielle Lindner, on your radio, friend. This is Glenn Klein. It is a hump day morning, and I'm feeling good. And so is James Brown now on WRJN.